This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. We're shifting our attention now to the challenges of urban development in Kuala Lumpur, and how we design and plan our cities perhaps reveals deeper societal issues and inequalities. Now, many of you may be following the Twitter debates on how private property developments and public housing sit uncomfortably side by side in Bangsar South, or Pantai Dalam, whichever you wish to call it.
This perhaps reflects different and conflicting priorities among its residents, be it to provide more parking spaces, to green spaces, to access to public transport. So are these issues simply about resolving and fixing the issues of the residents by providing the necessary facilities? Or does this call for a deeper conversation about redesigning city planning and property developments to help narrow the jarring inequalities in this country?
So to shed some light on the complex challenges of urban developments in Kuala Lumpur, we have on the line YB Fahmi Fazil, Member of Parliament for Lembah Pantai. Good morning, Fahmi. Thanks very much for joining us today. Let's start with the question of affordable housing. How effective and accessible is affordable housing in your constituency? Is affordable accommodation easily available to those most in need?
Actually, this is a major problem, not only for Lembah Pantai, but I think all of Kuala Lumpur and even the Greater Klang Valley. When we talk about affordable housing, generally there are two types. One is public housing, the other is private low-cost. And both are very badly affected by land speculation and poor urban planning over the last few decades particularly. So it is a chronic problem. There's only about 42,000 units of public housing projects in Kuala Lumpur. That means 42,000 units. So only about 42,000 families in Kuala Lumpur, which has a population of 1.8 million. So you can see how unrealistic this number is. The problem is a lot of Kuala Lumpur is considered brownfield. There's not much greenfield left for new development, particularly for low-cost or public housing. So one of the major challenges that Kuala Lumpur faces is there's no law currently that helps with redevelopment. So I think that's something which is quite necessary, apart from a clear, proper and a coordinated Kuala Lumpur city plan.
So the reality is, as you were saying, your development is all brownfield. You can't realistically cater for the whole diversity of incomes and needs in your constituencies. Does that mean that the middle classes will be basically relegated to the suburbs or even beyond KL then?
Hopefully not. I think what we're seeing actually is a question for really the B40 or the B50 right now, because what you're seeing is somebody is staying in public housing projects, like PPR. You're going from, say, a 42,000 ringgit unit, and the next step up is about 240,000, 250,000, 300,000. So there's really nothing in between for a lot of young families that are coming out from these public housing projects. And I think therein lies a major policy loophole or a lacuna, or there's really no planning in that sense. This is something which I've been fighting for, asking for more public housing projects. And even the idea of affordable housing in Kuala Lumpur has to be amended, has to be changed. 300,000, 250,000, no one in Kampung Kerinci, you know, very few people would find that is affordable housing.
So I want to know, what is the solution then in your mind? Because does this mean we need more government spending in terms of providing this public housing, or is it going to be an approach where you're looking at public-private partnerships? Because at the end of the day, these houses need to be built, but by whom and at what price then?
I think we've got to look at the last AG report, which said that Yayasan Wilayah, for example, has been quite instrumental in, I wouldn't say flipping land, but a lot of land in Kuala Lumpur has gone through the hands of very many people, including Yayasan Wilayah and several others. I've seen like a plot of land unrelated to Yayasan Wilayah in my constituency. The original asking price was 20 million. And then the final developer that is building something there bought the land for about 100 million ringgit. So that is going to astronomically jack up the price of whatever they're going to build there. How do you plan for affordable housing when people are taking advantage of the value, the proximity and the lack of real accountability in how all of this land is managed over time. We're looking really at dismantling what has happened over the last several decades. And there are NGOs like Save Kuala Lumpur that has been fighting to highlight how the lack of proper planning has led to where we are today. So to me, we need a clear redevelopment law that does not sideline or does not disadvantage those staying in strata properties. But a lot of strata properties, particularly low-cost housing in Lembah Pantai and the wider Kuala Lumpur, those that are over 30 years of age, definitely need to do some either some massive intervention or have to be redeveloped, because this is an opportunity in a way for us to get some of the design right. One of the major challenges of public housing projects is actually when you talk to people staying there, it's not how they, you know, it's not designed for ordinary Malaysians. You know, normally, for example, our kitchen normally is in the back of the unit, but when you walk into a PPR unit, the kitchen is right up front. So for a lot of people, this has been quite a challenge in terms of, you know, how this has been designed. But this is a problem from 20, 30 years ago.
Right. So we're really dealing with a long-standing issue that's not, there are no quick fixes overnight, essentially. It really does require a very coherent, comprehensive approach from all stakeholders. I'm wondering, Fahmi, when you think about how we can redesign urban development in Kuala Lumpur, are there examples that come to your mind? Are there best practices, whether here in Malaysia or abroad, that we should be thinking of in order to balance commercial and social requirements in urban development?
Yeah, I remember in January of 2019 when we had a program to re-emphasize the place of Kampung Prinsi in North Bangsa South. Bangsa South is really a group of buildings, a subset of Kampung Prinsi, and Kampung Prinsi contains all of the wider areas and smaller developments. The question of sustainability is not just about building materials. It's not just about, you know, a green building index or energy use. It's really also about how do you coexist with the community. One of the biggest problems faced by a community like Kampung Prinsi is a lot of people who live there get pushed further and further away. So how do you build something when you know the challenges of the market? If the cost of the land is so high, how do you build to make sure that the community is not segregated but is better integrated? Is that possible? This is something which, you know, is a conversation which is ongoing. I think places like University Malaya, even Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia and Plan Malaysia and a number of other urbanists, you know, would be in a very good position to widen the debate on as we talk about sustainability going forward.
And, you know, Fahmi, when you see what we can do for the next 6 months to 1 year in your constituency, right, what are the key priorities for you to make your constituency more livable, right? Is it just more public transport, more green spaces? What are your top 2-3 priorities then?
Yeah, I think actually it's about jobs right now. A lot of people are trying to get back on their feet. Parking, this is a very practical problem. And that's why in some of the online conversation, a lot of the solutions that we're looking for are very long-term solutions. And that can only work if we have good policymakers and people who are executing it well in KL City Hall. In the meantime, every day, you know, people are faced with these challenges, broken down lifts, not enough parking, getting summonses because you park on the side of the road. So a lot of it is very hands-on, trying to solve, you know, trying to make things a little bit better for people in Kampung Prinsi, in different parts of Kuala Lumpur even.
Okay.
So I think for me, it would be about having better public transport, helping people find better homes and finding better jobs.
And since we have you on the line, we have to ask you a political question. I mean, what's the progress been like on the MOU? I mean, what's the next milestone for Pakatan Harapan to decide to continue with it or cancel the MOU? Because we hear very little about the reform agenda.
Yeah, I think actually I have to tip my hat off to Wan Junaidi, who has been quite... you know, he's been exceptionally proactive in terms of getting some of these laws prepared to be brought to Parliament, whether it's about ME63, whether it's about anti-hopping or some of the other items that we've been talking about. But a lot of it is hemmed in by some of the real parliamentary scheduling. So, for example, when Parliament resumes on the 25th, we've only really got 4 days to talk about bills before we will have to deal with the budget, which will take up a good 80-85% of the rest of the time. And then we can only come back to all of the other legislation at the end of the year. So the window is very small and, a lot of agenda. Out of 18 items, about 8 items have been dealt with. So we've got another 10 to go. But some of these don't really have a time frame. For example, independence of judiciary. When people are seeing, individuals, high-profile cases getting passports back, people asking, so what's the point of the MOU? And it's a very legitimate question. And it's something which I think some of us intend to raise when we meet next next Monday.
Fahmi, thanks as always for chatting with us. That was YB Fahmi Faisal, Member of Parliament from Lembah Pantai, talking to us about the challenges of urban development, as well as giving us a quick update on the MOU between the government and Pakatan Harapan, where it stands, what to expect next, and the questions that people want answered. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.